Blog Talk Radio. Wow. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. This is the 17th day of the third month, which is March of 2024. Wow. How many days we got left? It's 14 more days in this month, and then we'll be on the fourth month. Wow. Look at God. Look at God. Look at God. Look at God. Well, we've got something for you today, and I pray that it blesses you. I'm going to check to see if Minister Sylvia is available and ready to pray for us and with us and whatever the Lord has given her to pray on this morning. Minister Sylvia, are you ready to pray for us and with us?
Praise God. Yes, I am.
I thank God for today. This day, out of all days, I thank him especially for today because God told me to do something a little different today. He said to start it off, I need you. You need me. We are a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We are a part of God's body. It is his will that everything will be supplied. You are a part of me, and I need you to survive. Sorry for the crackling of the voice, but I just wanted you all to know that God said we need each other. We need each other to stand together and trust God. We need each other to be witnesses for God. We need each other to touch and agree that we can pray for and with one another. We need to understand that we are a part of God's body, a part of building the kingdom of God, a part of being witnesses for this sick and dying world. Because if we don't get it, how can they get it? We have to stand on God's word. We have to trust God's word. We have to trust God. We can pray every day, all day, saying, God, I know you can, but if you don't, but do trust you with my mind. God, I trust you with everything I have, everything I got. God, I trust you with knowing that you are God. I trust you with everything that my heart can hold, everything that my mind can meditate on, everything that I can accept mentally. God, I trust you with my mental health. I trust you with my physical health. I trust you with my emotional ways. God, we just trust you with everything, oh Lord. As we stand before you, as we kneel before you, as we lay before you, God, we want to just say, God, we trust you. You can trust us, Lord. As you elevate us, God, as you enhance us, oh God, as you teach us that we need one another, God. We all are members of the body of Christ. We all have different jobs, different assignments. But, God, we have assignments, and we ask you to keep us on assignment, oh, God. Give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, a mind to meditate, and the will to do your will, oh, God. We trust you that everything you have for us, God, it is for us. We trust you, oh, Lord, that we will stay focusing on assignment. We ask you to have your way on today. Let your word fall where it may, and let us receive and accept what you have to say on today. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you for the song, and thank you for the prayer in Jesus' name. Well, on last week, we started talking about celebrating someone versus envying them. We talked about the definition of celebration, the definition of envy. We talked about how the devil was jealous of God and his sovereignty. We talked about how Eve was tricked and duped by the devil into envying God. We talked about Cain and Abel. We talked about Joseph and his brothers. We talked about the prodigal son. We talked about Rachel and Leah. We talked about even the very competition between Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. I know many don't think about that. We talked about Saul, how he envied King David. And we talked about how the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the elders, the teachers, the people that were supposed to be working together, oh, my God, envied Jesus. We talked about how King Ahab, only he had all of the land, all of the kingdom, and he had this one man that he wanted what he had. With all that he had, he was not satisfied. Can you just think about that? We talked about how the vineyard people that worked in the vineyard were jealous of how the man in charge decided he was going to take care of his laborers. They were laborers too, so how are they going to tell him what to do with his own money? That's a whole nother message that we may end up doing a part three just to cover that. I don't know what God wants, but I can tell you on today, I'm going to ask you to be patient with me because I need to share a personal and intimate story about a grandmother that I know. I know her very intimately. I know her very personally. She started out as a sweet little innocent girl, but she was tormented. She was tormented. And envy surrounded her. It surrounded her because she loved to read dictionaries and atlas books and history books and biology books. Basically, any book that contained knowledge or answers. And because she loved to read so much, you know, they deemed those people as nerds and stuff like that. So because she loved to read so much and because a lot of the people surrounding her, the kids surrounding her, had a hard time reading, they had trouble reading, they would tease her and they would fight her, they would mock her, they would call her names like white girl. They would, yeah, she was a minority. No, she wasn't a Caucasian. She was growing up on the, and in the inner city of Chicago. She started off on the south side. Then her family moved her to what was supposed to be a better life on the west side. She had a sister who was her best friend. She had sisters, but she had this one sister that was her best friend. And she had a great set of hands. I mean, she was a tomboy. She liked fighting, and she wanted to show the girls and the boys, come on, show me what you're working with. I'm going to show you what I'm working with. I mean, just gifted with the fists and the feet and everything. And so this girl, she fought in the neighborhood, but she also fought her sister. But the reason that she fought her sister was that she wanted her sister, who was a light-skinned girl growing up in a neighborhood that had a lot of people of different colors, but mostly the dark skin and the brown skin people were the bullies at this time. And that, because they were jealous of, you know, they were still going into that you know, a house, as they would say, Negro issue. So her mom and her dad could tell that this light-skinned girl was going to have the potential to be an athlete because she liked playing sports. She liked doing the things that her sister was doing. She wasn't a tomboy like her big sister, one of many big sisters because she was the youngest. But you could just tell she loved books. She loved athletics. She loved all of that. But this little girl was tormented. Although she was loved by her sister that was a year older than her, and although she was loved by her parents, the bullies in the neighborhood always wanted to fight her. So her mom and dad decided, okay, well, she's got a sister that's gifted with hands, so let's go ahead and make her her protector. Oh, what they do that for. Her sister took that job seriously. She was like, my parents don't let me fight, and I ain't going to get in trouble. Woo-wee! Because I love the gift of my hands. And then she was like, and then my little sister always asking me, and asking my parents, why can't we all just get along? Why do people hate each other so much? why do people just not want to get along? And her mom and her sisters were like, okay, we've got to give this girl an answer. And her sister was like, I got the answer. I'm going to beat them all up. But her mother said, you know, daughter, that's what the civil rights leaders are trying to teach us as a people. They're trying to teach us how to protect one another. They're trying to teach us how to fight the challenges of racism and sexism and all the things that we're dealing with. But this little girl had that big sister that was protecting her all these years. She's going to school, she's fighting, and she's learning how to protect herself too, even though she's saying, can't we all just get along? But see, that wasn't the only tormentor that she had, the bullies in the neighborhood. She had a couple of bullying aunts, and it was an even larger tormentor than the one in the neighborhood. Because, see, the one in the neighborhood, she only had to worry about when she went outside. But, see, the aunts would tell us, you're not your my brother's daughter. You the milkman's daughter. Or better yet, you your mother's sister, sweetie's daughter. You ain't... Because in actuality, these aunts was jealous of the light-skinned mother that had married their brother who they thought had stole him from them. So whenever they saw this little girl, because see, they weren't tough enough to say nothing to Annie Oakley. That was what we called the mother, because the mother would have handled them, because she was gifted with her hands too, especially when it came to shooting. That's a whole nother message. Now, this little girl had been hearing all of her life, your daddy is not your daddy. She would go into various little corners and she would cry, and she would just get to herself or go into her room and spend lots of time with this auntie that they were telling her was her real mom, waiting for her aunt to one day tell her the truth. And she was tormented for many years because of these envious aunts who told her that her daddy wasn't her daddy. And so one day she got up enough nerve to ask her mom and dad if her mom was really her mom and if her dad was really her dad, because she had been told that her dad wasn't her dad. So they wanted to know, where'd she get that from? Who would dare tell that little girl something like that? Because it was so upsetting to the little girl. She was in tears confronting her parents about these years of torment that affected her sleep. She was sleepwalking and everything. This thing was really impacting her. Well, her parents confronted the aunts about what they had been saying to their daughter, but they didn't care. They would still find a way, whether it was at a funeral or a family reunion, whatever it is, to tell them, your little yellow self, your little white self, you ain't no kin to us. This little girl was like, I'm going to pour myself into these sports. I'm going to join the military. I'm going to become a person that excels in academics. I'm going to sing with the All-City Choir. I'm going to sing with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, for which her protector always came to support her as well. She coached and she played sports of various things, volleyball, basketball. The Chicago Tribune even featured her because of her sporting and coaching that she had been doing overseas in the military. Now all of a sudden these aunts that was saying she wasn't no kin to them, they wanted to claim her now. They wanted this little girl who was now a young adult. They wanted her. They wanted everybody to know, oh, I know her. I don't just know the one that's a little older than her that'll beat you up. But I know this little girl. Yes, she's my niece. I'm so proud of her. Now this young adult realized how iffy people are and how disastrous and devastating envy could be. But she didn't know that it was envy at the time. Her parents had even came to her basic training graduation. No other kids' parents had came. And they spent time with her at her basic training from the military graduation. So this little girl that was now an adult had learned how to navigate through the battles of envy and the isms in life. She had learned how to serve the Lord in her country and how to love her family through and past all of that envy. She had learned how to work in a world that was plagued with racism and sexism and institutionalism and systemicism and all the other isms. Although the world is still devastated, using these destructive tactics that envy brings, we realize that it's a plague that has come to kill, steal, and destroy God's people's God-given purpose and destiny. And yet we must remember that John 10:10 says, the thief, talking about the devil, comes in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in its abundance to the full till it overflows. Wasn't that some kind of testimony of that little girl that's now a grandmother? But just think, still dealing with the isms and the various attacks that the plague of envy deals with. But guess what? Other people are dealing with it as well. So in the midst of dealing with the enemy that comes to kill, steal, and destroy, we all need to learn how to celebrate God and what's happening in the midst of what you're dealing with. It's life. You're in good company. And I'm going to share a few testimonies with you, whether it's all today or during this week and next week, of various people in the Bible. We already talked about some of them, but I'm going to get into some more examples. But while we're talking about that, let's talk about how on yesterday, while I was driving and praying for people and worshiping God, a song came on that said, God, the psalmist said, I'm counting all my blessings, but oh God, I can't count that far. And I said, my, the lyrics really blessed me, God. This is what I wrote on Facebook. And then the second time in the same day I was driving once again, another song came on. And I said, God, now you really showing out now. He took me in all the way in where I was saying glory, 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 glory to God. Because this psalmist sang and declared, Father, on this side of heaven, I know that I'll run out of time, but I'll keep counting my blessings, knowing I can't count that high. And I said, my God, my God, my God. Why did I share that with you? Because in the midst of what you're experiencing, the attacks of frustration and doubt and apprehension and teeter-tottering, the ups and downs, the financial and economic challenges, the bliss, the good times, the positives and the negatives, the both, neither one, we have to keep our focus. We have to keep our focus on the Great Commission, teaching it and preaching it, the good news of Jesus Christ. Because the devil wants us to take out time talking about what people are doing, how people are doing this and people are doing that. They're this, they're that. What does that have to do with the Great Commission? The Great Commission and the fact that Jesus died on the cross is what will help people. We can share our analogies with them. We can share our opinions with them. We can share this and that with them. But the foundational thing that we have to get back to is that according to John 10:10, the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and destroy your God-given calling, your mission, and your focus. So I ask every one of you, ask God to show you how to keep preaching and teaching the good news, even to the people with itchy ears, even in the midst of wanting to share your opinions or be a part of the latest gospel. Know that you are a cleric of God, and you must share the Great Commission while at the same time worshiping him in spirit and in truth, while at the same time praying and interceding for others. Ask God to show you how to speak about and empower you to show his people, remain on the wall, how to share his God-given message about how he'll open up doors and windows and opportunities for you that no man, woman, child, or even devil can hinder or block or stop unless you let him. And how do you let him? When you let him cause you to lose your focus and use his vehicles that he's given you to talk about that instead of using them as an analogy to talk about what God has done for you and how God has brought you through it. So let's get into part two of envy. We talked about how the devil was jealous of God's sovereignty. In Isaiah 14 verses 12 through 14 said, "Have you fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, light bringer, son of dawn? You have been cut down to the ground. You have been weakened, but you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount and assemble the remotes of the north. I will ascend above the heights and the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." How many of you have said that? How many of you have spent so much time trying to be greater than God? I know some of you may think that you haven't, but many times when we are worrying and we're complaining, instead of using our testimonies and our life experiences as something to talk about how good God is, that's what we're doing. We're being arrogant and acting like God doesn't know what he's doing. In another case, the devil fooled Eve into wanting to know what God knew, because God knew the difference between good and evil. And she became envious of God, and she wanted to know good and evil. She wanted to gain wisdom. She wanted to be pleasing in her own sight. She wanted her husband to even gain this wisdom. But what does it mean to really gain the wisdom of God? Well, the word tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. See, she didn't have to be envious of God. All she had to do was ask for his wisdom. So because she ate of the tree, because her husband, Adam, ate of the tree that they were forbidden to eat of, they died in the supernatural. How many people that you call so-called friends and saints and laborers have tried to make you doubt your leader? How many times has Satan tried to make you doubt your leader? How many times has he tried to make you doubt God? Remember, God gave you that leader. And that same leader that you was assigned to fight for and protect is now assigned to protect you, spiritual side. So yes, you two are assigned to one another by God. It's an apostolic destiny that God gave you young in life, and that protector that you didn't know about. Because see, many people are accustomed to calling you sister, whatever. Or even I'll use my sister as an example. Many people like calling her sister, Renee. They like calling her Ren. But they act like they can't see the elevation that God has placed on her life. She's no longer just sister, Renee, or Ren. They don't want to see the equalness God has placed on her life as a minister of the gospel of Jesus. But see, she's still Sister Renee, that Renee that they prayed over and rebuked. in her younger years of Christianity. They still want her to ride on their shoulders and help them to obey God. But God has called this sister Renee to minister Renee, to evangelist Renee, to the woman of God that has been assigned a prophetic voice in the kingdom. So because of that, he's calling her to a higher calling. Because of that, he's reminding her that 2 Timothy 2, verses 2 through 7, he wants her to hear these crucial words in scriptures. And he's reminding you too. Somebody else besides this minister needs to hear this word on today. It says, so you, my son, be strong, constantly strengthened and empowered in the grace that is to be found only in Christ Jesus. The things, the doctrines, the precepts, the admonitions, the psalm of ministry, which you have heard me teach in the presence of many witnesses, entrust as a treasure to reliable and faithful men who will also be capable and qualified to teach others. That's right. You're going to teach others. You're going to take with me your share of hardness and hardship, passing through the difficulties which you're called to endure. And a sidebar, one of them is envy. One of them is disappointment. One of them is having a sister that, or sibling, or people that are in clubs with you that are so jealous of you, till they'll rather call out the things that you do wrong. And you, everybody in the group can tell them what they do wrong, but when you say it, my God, God is saying that's the time that he wants you to learn from so that you can be a good soldier of Christ Jesus. The scriptures go on to say that no soldier in active service gets entangled in the ordinary business affairs of civilian life. He avoids them so that he may please the one who enlisted him to serve. My. If anyone competes as an athlete in competitive games, he is not crowned with the wreath of victory unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer who labors to produce crops ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. We got to give God our first fruits. Think over the things. I am saying grasp their very application, for the Lord will grant you insight and understanding in everything. So because he's granting you insight, remember this. Jesus, the ever-living Lord, who has risen from the dead, has, as prophesied, king, descended from David, king of Israel, according to my gospel and good news that I preach. This is the word. For that gospel I am suffering even to the point of wearing chains like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained or imprisoned. For this reason, I am ready, you got to be ready, to patiently endure all things for the sake of those who are the elect, the chosen ones of God. Yes, you're one of the chosen ones, so that they too may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, with it the reward of eternal glory. This is a faithful and trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, my, he still remains faithful, true to his word and his righteous character. For he cannot deny himself. Now, as an unashamed workman, this is what God is calling you to. I pray that you heard the other words about reigning with him and suffering with him and him granting you insight and understanding. But hear ye these particular verses right here, verses 14, 15, and 16. Remind the people of these facts and solemnly charge them in the presence of God to avoid petty, controversial words, which does no good and upsets and undermines and even ruins the faith of those who listen. Study and do your best to present yourself to God approved, a workman tested by trial, who has no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of God. But avoid all irrelevant babble and godless chatter, profane, empty words, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their teachings will spread like gangrene. So now you should understand the temptation that the enemy wants you to doubt what you're doing. He sends people to try to provoke you and to even ask you to be a part of the same cultic religions that they're a part of. But see, the desire of Eve to have wisdom and knowledge, God said he's going to give you divine insight into it. Why? Because he wants you to study, to show yourself approved. Because he's not going to have those people looking at you, thinking that you're sharing with them irrelevant babble or chatter or empty words, because you're backing it up with his word. You're backing it up with his praise. You're backing it up with your decision. I'm going to ask God for his wisdom and to empower me, so that when I pray, God answers. These people that still are trying to keep me in the old self that's calling me sister, those same people that try to cast out whatever in me at the radio station, at the group meetings, at the various places, my. If I told you, I'm talking about me, how many people call themselves casting out devils out of me because of me being this or that? How many people call me a fornicator, an adulterer, a murderer, a liar, a thief, a backbiter, a gossiper, a messy Bessie, and more? How many of them act like I got a sign over my head that's lit up, or something written on my forehead or tattooed on my forehead that says, murderer, 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 beware, liar, 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 beware, thief, 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 beware, biter, backbiter, 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 beware, gossiper, 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 beware, messy Bessie, messy Bessie, messy Bessie, beware. Instead of a sign over my head or a tattoo on my head or a sign from God that says she is redeemed, he is redeemed, they are redeemed. Because Colossians 10, 23 says, so that you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, displaying admirable character, moral courage, and personal integrity to fully please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily working in the knowledge of God with deeper faith and clearer insight and fervent love for his precepts. We pray that you may be strengthened, and invigorated with all power according to his glorious might, and to attain every kind of endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints, God's people. Yes, we're God's people in the light of incomparable power and wisdom. He has rescued us. He has drawn us to him out of the dominion of darkness. He has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In him, we have redemption because of his sacrifice resulting in the forgiveness of our sins and the cancellation of the sins of penalty. He is the exact living image, the essential manifestation of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible, the firstborn, the prominent one, the sovereign, and the originator of all creation. The word of God goes on to say the prominent one. I'm saying it again. The sovereign one. I'm saying it again. And the originator, I'm saying it again. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. Those visible and invisible. You're visible. I'm visible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things are created and exist through him. That is, by his activity. By him, for he himself existed and is before all things, and in him all things hold and hold together. His is the controlling, cohesive force of the universe. He is also the head and the life source and the leader of the body of the church, and he is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead. So he himself will occupy the first place, and he will stand supreme and be preeminent in everything. For it pleased the Father for all the fullness of deity and the sum of total of his presence and his essence and his perfection and his power and his attributes, to dwell permanently in him, the Son. And through the intervention of the Son to reconcile all things to him and to himself, making peace with believers through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth, yes, we're on earth, or things in heaven. And although you were at one time estranged and alienated and hostile-minded toward him and participated in evil things, yet Christ has now reconciled you, me. You and me have been reconciled by Christ to God and his physical body to death, in order to present you before the Father, holy and blameless, beyond reproach. And he will do this and continue in faith, well-grounded, steadfast, not shifted away from the confident hope that is a result of the gospel that you have heard and which was proclaimed. See, not only have you heard the gospel, but it's been proclaimed, and now God wants you to proclaim it. Getting back to the scriptures now. And all creation under heaven, of which the gospel, even Paul, made people ministers. God has made you a minister, according to 2 Timothy 2. And he's reminding you that he said for you to study and to do your best to present yourself to God, approved, a workman tested by trial, who has no reason to be ashamed as they accurately handle and skillfully teach the word of truth. Now, while you're doing this, it does not mean that the devastating, destructive purpose of envy won't try to cast you into doubt, as the devil did with Eve, that it won't try to keep you or turn you backwards to where they still want to call you sister or by a nickname. when God has elevated you and promoted you. You said yes, and he's giving you time, and he's giving you more time. But now he says, Zion is calling me to a higher place of praise. Zion is calling you to a higher place of praise. Oh, Zion is calling you to a higher place of praise. Oh, Zion is calling you. Because God is calling you to a higher place of studying, of research, of being tested so that you can unashamedly present and handle his word in such a way that demons tremble. People are afraid to try to even talk to you about their religion, but you're drawing them through the Great Commission that God has empowered you to teach and to preach. And although they'll still be jealous, and although they'll still envy, you will be achieving your God-given purpose of studying and presenting yourself approved as a workman tested by trial. Who has no reason to be ashamed because you accurately handle and skillfully teach the word of truth. And although you share various analogies and testimonies to share the word of God that he's given you, enemies are trembling. Demonic forces are running and fleeing. For as you submit to God, the enemy flees. Because see, you're obeying God because you'd rather obey God than man who keeps trying to call you sister or brother. Man that keeps trying to undermine the calling on your life because you're studying to show yourself approved. So demons, go in the name of Jesus. Demonic forces, go in the name of Jesus. You unwelcome, trespassing spirit, go in the name of Jesus. You shall no longer undermine the people of God because God's going to shut you down. I warn you, don't be challenged to obey God, but obey God. Because Zion is calling you and me to a higher place of praise and prayer and studying, teaching. Remember, it's a song. This song can say whatever God wants it to say to me and you. Because remember yesterday, while I was driving and praying and worshiping God, he had the psalmist sing songs about how I was counting the blessings of God, but I couldn't count that far because the many blessings of God were infinite. Because the infinite blessings of God was too high, even in our lives. From the very beginning to this very day, to the things that God has called you to do. Don't let envy distract you. Don't let jealousy distract you. Don't let competition distract. Don't let doubt distract you. Don't let demonic attacks distract you. But keep your focus on the great commission of God. Because whether you're in the bliss of the blessings or you're in the trials of the testing, God is going to use you and continue to use you and to take you higher and higher and higher. Zion is calling us to a higher place. Zion is calling us to a higher place. Yes, he is. And our Zion is our one and only true and living God. Minister Sylvia, I turn the program back over to you, because obviously there's going to be a part two or part three or whatever God has given me, because that was only the first couple of items that he outlined for me to share on today. So, Minister Sylvia, I turn it over to you.
Praise God, praise God, praise God for the word on today. All I can say is, God, I receive everything that was ministered, spoken, and said on today. We thank God for you all taking time out to join us for our morning service, to hear that God is calling us to a higher place of praise, of worshiping, of witnessing, of studying, just being in the body of Christ. God is calling us to a higher place, and it's time for us to start being a for real part of the building of Christ, of the building of the kingdom of God, of uplifting one another, of encouraging one another. Let's stop walking in the old way and start trying the God's way. Again, we thank you for listening as you're driving home to church or from church or just sitting around the house or whatever you may be doing. But whether this is in the live broadcast or in the archives of the replay, we are so glad that you took the time out to listen to Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron Ministries, where our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Thank you for just being a faithful listener and a faithful supporter for Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Thank you for coming in on Monday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to hear what God has to say to Smile 3E and Sharpening Iron with the Let's Talk program. Thank you for remembering to tune in on tomorrow night. You can tune in here. What I phone unmuted. Please phone. Someone's phone needs to be muted. Thank you. Don't let the devil use you. As far as I can tell, you should keep your mouth shut. Please mute your phone. In Jesus' name. I just want to say, still listen to us to the service on Monday night, where we talk about wisdom. That's at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Apostle, could you mute that? Whoever that is. I thank God for the opportunity to tell you about our Wednesday program, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for the Wisdom Wednesday, which God is having us discuss and talk about wisdom. So please study and join. And as the woman of God said earlier, if you like wisdom or you like knowledge or you like understanding, God said ask. He will give it generously. Just ask for it. If you come back on Friday at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can hear what God has placed in my heart also to speak on Let's Talk, the E.R. and Chaplain I Ministries. And we will be so happy to have you as a witness, as a supporter, as a listener. And just know that God is God and God is doing what he's doing in the body of Christ. Let's come together because he's calling us to a higher place of praise and he's teaching us how to stand together as one in a body in Christ, not one as an individual. So I give it back to you, Apostle Elect. Amen. In your hand.
Amen. Thank you. My phone kept dropping, and once I muted the person for some reason, my phone kept dropping, but that's okay. That we talked about today, as God is calling us to a higher place, we have to the things that the enemy does, at the attacks, and we'll use it as our testimony and our analogies as we share relatable content with as we cross-reference the Word of God to show you that you're never, ever, ever, while you're on this earth, going to be free of the attacks because the call of your life is great. And I thank God for Minister Sylvia answering the call. I thank God for God allowing me to answer the call, the late Minister Sheila to answer the call, and everyone that's affiliated with Smile3E. I thank God. I thank God. I thank God. And I thank God for giving me this series on envy. I didn't expect it, but that's why it says to study and show yourself approved. That's why the Word of God says to be also ready to know the message. That's what it sounds like I'm trying to do. So we're going to just go ahead and thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for the callers that have called in. And even the one that would not mute their phone, we thank you for that one. Because it shows you the consistency of the enemy and how we have to be consistent in what we're doing for you. So thank you for the consistency of Smile3E on every Sunday, on every Monday, on every Wednesday, on every Friday, and every day of our lives. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you that your word tells us that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but that you have come so that we have not have life and that more abundantly. So I thank you, God, for the abundance. In my mind, say it again, the abundance of life. Many people don't understand the jewel of having the abundance of life, the blessings of God that ride with you in the car, the blessings of God that cause you to be protected all through the night. The blessings of God that have overtaken you that you're not even aware of. The things that have happened to you that God has used to show you how great he is. So until tomorrow night, bye-bye. Let's see if the music will play. If it doesn't, we'll just go off the air knowing that we, guess what? Are redeemed with or without the music by Pastor Troy Thomas. So until tomorrow, bye-bye.